Myron Augsburger, one of the marvelous Mennonite teachers of our country, makes the comment, if you want to see Jesus go into action, just cheat the poor and squeeze out the Gentiles and see what he does. And that is exactly what had happened. And they had put their supermarket there in the court of the Gentiles, and they were making money off the poor, both things which were forbidden by the law of Moses. There is this particular concern of the Lord God for those who are the helpless poor of the world. And the Gentiles are the unbelievers. But God loves the unbelievers. Promises all the way through the Scriptures that God has this compassion for the outsiders and the Gentiles. And both of these were being displaced in that temple. And what did Jesus do? Did he stop and pray? Did he do something spiritual? Did he preach a sermon? Did it ever occur to you to think that Jesus was revolutionary? Did that ever cross your mind? A nonviolent revolution, to be sure. You have to ask yourself, how was he a threat to Pilate? How was he a threat to Herod? How was he a threat so that politicians and priests, people that were bitter enemies with each other, collaborated to destroy him? You see, what you're looking at here, as you see in so much of the Scriptures, is a clash of kingdoms. There's always that tension between Christ and Caesar. And the irony of Palm Sunday is that in this person, who came essentially in weakness, power is redefined. The economy is redefined. And God's sovereign purpose for human history is made visible and present. Whenever you and I say Jesus Christ is Lord, we're talking about sovereignty. And we're saying that every other power is secondary. So that Jesus coming lowly, riding on an ass in the foal of an ass, is saying that the Roman Empire and Herod and the power of the Sadducees and the whole merchandising community of Jerusalem are all secondary situations. And the response is, get rid of it. You see, Jesus comes as the Word of the Father. And whatever destroys and whatever dehumanizes and whatever oppresses, whatever hurts humankind, he comes to bring redemption into that. When I asked J.Y. this morning the questions of confirmation, there is that vow that we make that we join with our Lord Jesus Christ in anything that destroys humankind or demeans or oppresses or creates injustice. You see, whatever does that becomes then the object of his nonviolent revolution. I hope you can grasp some of that. Jesus' salvation is, in fact, rest for the heavy laden, but it is far more all-encompassing than just that. To call him Lord is to talk about sovereignty that encompasses our personal lives, our social lives, our corporate lives, our political lives. It is even cosmic in that sense. And the powers that be sought to exterminate him on the cross, and it didn't work. I think we need to stop on Palm Sunday and just say, hey, it's a stupid thing humanly for us to be here worshiping an executed revolutionary. That's what he was. He wasn't executed for being a sinner. There were two reasons they brought against him. One of them was he was challenging Caesar, and the other one, he claimed to be God. They didn't execute him for healing the sick and raising the dead, and giving hearing to the deaf and sight to the blind. They accused him because he was a threat to the powers that be. And that's the irony. Always troubles us that Jesus said in the midst of his teachings, I did not come to bring peace but a sword. He said, the peace that I give you is not peace as the world gives. So it is on this Palm Sunday of 1988. The people of God in Christ continue to affirm his lordship. wherever human governments or institutions are engaged in that which is unjust and destructive, greedy, dehumanizing, defiling, there the sovereign Lord Jesus, who dwells among his people, becomes a voice of a prophet. So in these days, we continually hear the challenges of the people of the Lord Jesus Christ to the powers of this age. That's not easy. Some of you may have read in your Senate of North Carolina newspaper the account of a former ambassador to a number of European nations, Iron Curtain countries, who is now a visiting professor in international relations at Davidson College, saying what it meant for him as a Christian to be a diplomat in the Foreign Service. Not easy to hold those two in balance. And he said frequently, because he was a diplomat in the United States government, he had to push his Christian faith aside and be the diplomat to defend policies of the United States that he did not personally agree with. But he was living with both of those in hand. There have been very marvelous lectures in recent years by former President Jimmy Carter on the same tension, trying to be a president where he had kingdom values built into him, but also being the leader of this nation and struggling with the difference that was often there. Nobody says it's easy. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey and was affirmed to be the Lord, that was saying also that others were not the Lord. So it is in these recent days, from Pope John Paul challenging foreign policies of both the Soviet Union and the United States, to churches that consistently have questioned the validity of nuclear armaments, churches that have questioned both the Soviet intrusion into Afghanistan and the U.S. intrusion into Central America, to Alan Bosak and Desmond Tutu in the church in South Africa challenging the unjust policies of the Republic of South Africa, to the Christian church in Chile, where our own missionaries Bob and Estelle Armistead stand with that body challenging the wicked and oppressive policies of General Pinochet, to Archbishop Dom Helder Camara in Brazil questioning the policies of his government that simply made the poor poorer and the rich richer. Always this clash of kingdoms, where the Christian church calls governments to their true purpose, to uphold justice and to seek peace and to maintain order. Yes, to say that Jesus Christ is Lord on this Palm Sunday has a certain irony to it, that Jesus in his weakness and the church in its weakness are always the ones who are saying, there is only one Lord. Now, that's what I want to say. Don't miss the point of Palm Sunday. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, we are accepting a whole new consciousness, a whole new set of loyalties. And when you do that, you had better fasten your safety belt, because it can cost you a cross. All praise to Jesus Christ, whose people we are. Amen.